You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
You guys having a good day so far? A couple of you guys are happy to be here. Hey, I need your help. We're live streaming this into 16 correctional facilities across the state of Alaska, as well as those watching online. Would you give it up for those watching online right now? Glad you're here with us. And my name's Mark, and I'm one of the pastors here at True North. So glad you came today. You know what I like about Easter? This is what I like about Easter the most. Whether you need it or not, you take a shower and comb your hair, right? And you guys are looking good. In fact, I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, I'm the one he's talking about. I'm looking good. Look at your neighbor right now. Look at your other neighbor and say, the person on my other side needs some help. They need some help. They, you know, hey, I'm so glad you're here. You ever had, question for you, you ever had one of those days? And you might be thinking like, well, what's one of those days? Like, how many of you guys ever had one of those days where you're living your dream and you're like, this is incredible. You ever had one of those days? Last Monday, a buddy and I were coming up the backside of Astrodome on our fat tire bikes. The sun was out. It was about 30 degrees, and we're like, yeah, we're living our dream. Others are like, that's a nightmare. That's hell. That is hell. It's not, trust me. There is a place called hell. Or maybe you've had one of those days, and it's your nightmare, and I want to look at one of those days today, because there's a verse about 6 months ago. I'm reading the Bible, and there's a verse that stuck out. And today I want to talk about this thought that there's a day that changed all days. In Matthew chapter 28, it'll be on the screens and follow along with your worship guide here, but in Matthew 28, it says, early on Sunday morning as the new day, say day, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. In other words, they go to the graveyard. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Now, how many of you guys would think, you know, there's places that have earthquakes, but graveyards are the freaky places that have earthquakes? You know, think about it. It's like, okay, is it going to cave in? Am I going to sink a couple feet? You know, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, sat on it. His face shone like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell to a dead faint. And then the angel spoke to the woman. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. In other words, he was here, but he isn't here. He's risen from the dead just as he said it would happen. Another verse says, why do you look for the living among the dead? Now, I went downstairs. We have some offices downstairs. Our next gen team down there, our junior high school pastor, our kids pastor are there. I said, guys, I said, I'm old. They said, we know. I need a little help. I said, if this scripture was a TikTok or Instagram story, what, you know, if I did an Instagram story, a TikTok story, no one would watch it. It would be dorky, okay? But what would be the cool way? They said, well, if this verse was an Instagram or TikTok, it would say, lit day in the graveyard. Now, this one doesn't make sense to me, but I'm older. Earthquake was the slaps. Day to remember. The angel's face was on point. Clothes were white as Fairbanks snow. Angel flexed, rolled the stone away, sat on that stone. Guards were literally shook, fainted as dead. Lit day in the graveyard, bet. And the angel said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus. He's crucified. He isn't here. Like he said it would happen. He raised from the dead. So now check this out, though. Who was there? Mary. It's like, never mind, okay? It's true, Mary. That sounds like a group or something. But I want to propose to you today that this new day that was dawning is a day that changed all days. But here's my question for you. What does a new day dawning mean? What does it mean? a new day's dawn. Like, what's that mean? Well, I think it means it's one of two things. Number one, a new day. It could be a 24-hour period of time. 24 60-minute installments of a day as the sun and moon change location on the worldwide tour. That's what one day is. Or it could mean a new era. A new era was dawning. Everything changed. Say, how many of you guys, how many are old enough like me to live through the change of a century and a millennium? We call it Y2K. How many of you guys were alive during Y2K? If you weren't alive, guess what? You're with some old people here. We lived through a millennium. I remember that, like, you know, the stoplight's gonna, remember those days? I was a youth pastor. The best thing about Y2K as a youth pastor was my pastor came to me and says, hey, brother Mark. That's what they called me instead of just Mark. My name's Mark. Well, brother Mark, you know, we don't know if the clocks are going to work, the stoplights. We used to take about 500, we'd rent buses and swim. You know, we'd rent a swimming pool. We'd rent, you know, we did a traveling all-night event with 500 teenagers. That's called hell right there. We know that Jesus was a junior high youth pastor for 30 days because the Bible says he spent 40 days in the wilderness with wild animals and beasts, okay? And so my pastor says, well, you know, Brother Mark, with what's going on with Y2K, maybe we shouldn't do an all-nighter. Maybe kids should be at home with their parents where they're safe. I said, I agree with you. That's a good idea, Pastor. We really want kids to be safe. So the next year he comes and says, Mark, you doing an all-nighter? Oh, brother pastor. Remember, we stopped doing all-nighters last year because we wanted kids to be safe with their parents on New Year's Eve. He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Y2K, incredible. All right. Besides that, it's a new era. A decade. I turned 50 last year, but when I turned 40, you know, I was living in Anchorage, and my wife was cooking a special breakfast for my birthday. We had four daughters. They pulled around and said, hey, girls, Daddy is over the hill today. Now, that doesn't make you feel very good. But then one of my daughters, her name's Brady. She gets big brown eyes, a little half Mexican, half like gringo. Guys get all big and goes, Daddy's going to hell today? It's a new era. But there's days that change all days. Think about it. There's 24-hour periods that change all days. Puberty, remember that? That changed everything. Dating changed everything. Marriage. They say you're not complete until you're married and then you're finished. When you have kids change. How many know kids change everything? Kids change everything, right? You know what Mark Twain said? Mark Twain had great advice. When a kid becomes a teenager, put him in a barrel and feed him through a hole. When they turn 18, plug the hole. So there's kids, there's empty nest, there's menopause, there's retirement. There's unexpected challenges. There's a death of a loved one that comes unexpected. There's a miscarriage. There's illness. There's the you've got and they say the C word, cancer. And there's days that change more than just that 24-hour period. There's days on the calendar that alter decades. But friends, there's nothing like what happened on Easter Sunday when they showed up in the graveyard. Mary and Mary showed up. And that day, the new day was dawning, changed eternity forever. It's nothing has shifted history more than that day. But that day impacted all other days. And today I want to just take a few moments to look at three truths. I want to bring attention to three truths regarding that new day, and really regarding the resurrection of Jesus, because that is what has changed everything. Number one, if you're taking notes in your worship, got to be on the screens here, is the resurrection is a fact. Say fact. The resurrection is a fact of history. It's a fact that Sunday they went to the graveyard and he's not there. That single day on a calendar changed eternity. But that day couldn't happen without 3 days earlier happening. Sunday couldn't happen if Friday first didn't come. And so Friday They're in a garden of Gethsemane. Jesus asks his disciples, come pray with me. He takes a couple of them a little farther. He asks them to pray, and he prays this prayer. He says, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering, in other words, what's going to happen on the cross, be taken from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. We know he's in the garden. He's betrayed. He's betrayed by Judas with a kiss for 30 silver coins. He's taken to, before trial, stands before the high priest, and the high priest demands. He says, I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you're the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus replied, you have said it. And in the future, you'll see the Son of Man seated on the place of power. See, it's Friday, and he says, all you see right now is Friday, the fact that I'm standing before you. But I'm going to sit in a place of power in the right hand of God the Father in the coming on clouds, because Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. And then he's exited out, and he stands before the Roman governor, and he says, are you the king of the Jews? And the governor asked him, and Jesus replied, you said it. You're the one that's, are you king of the Jews? You said it. And a few verses later, the Bible says he's crucified. He's nailed to a cross. The Bible says soldiers are gambling and casting lots for his clothes. And then they hang a sign above him that says, Jesus, king of the Jews. And they were partially right. But they didn't know the rest of the story, because he wasn't just king of the Jews. The Bible says he was king of kings and lord of lords. The Bible says he's the king of glory, the king of righteousness, the king of ages, the king of kings. He's King Jesus. He healed the sick. He walked on water. He opened blind eyes. He healed deaf ears. He strengthened the weak, delivered the captive, restored the brokenhearted. He's a shelter in time of need. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the light of the world, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's more than just Jesus, King of the Jews. And we know the Bible says the government of the world, not just America, but the government of the world rests upon his shoulders. And that day they're casting lots for his clothes, mocking his little sign, not knowing that the sign that was bigger than that sign was 3 days later, he'd come victorious out of death, hell, and the grave, because Friday was here, but Sunday was coming. And we know this. It says this. It says Jesus shouted in verse 20, 50 of chapter 27. He shouted out again and he released his spirit. I almost see it like you're airing up a tire, little air comes out. He releases his spirit. He breathed his last. And it says at that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary from the temple torn from the top to the bottom in two. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened and bodies came. Oh, that would be a crazy day in the graveyard. Like, what happened? Well, I was out putting flowers on grandma's, but I'm telling you, things started coming out of the ground. Be worse than cleaning some of your teenagers' closets. The Bible says he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And I love what verse 65 and 66 say. Pilate replied, take guards and secure it. This was after the earthquake. Take guards, they took a garrison of guards, secured the tomb. What they believe happened was they believe they took like a cement or mortar and rolled a stone. They secured that with cement and mortar because they didn't want anyone to steal the body. Friends, it's Friday. But I want you to know, the King of Kings is buried in that borrowed tomb, but Sunday's coming. Three rotations of the sun later, we come to Sunday, and that's where we start. This is the very next sentence. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the others went out to visit the tomb. This day really happened, friends. This day. Paul summarizes it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I pass on to you what was most important, that what had been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. And listen, this is the part that's important. He was seen by Peter and then by 12, and then he was seen by more than 500, say 500. Followers at the same time, most of whom are still alive. This is the part you have to understand. If you don't believe he rose from the dead, go talk to the people that saw him alive. Many of them are still alive. When Paul wrote this, he's pointing out this didn't happen on some back alley over here. There's not some propaganda to happen. This thing happened. And if you don't believe it, go talk to eyewitnesses. They were there. They saw. And so Peter and the 12, and he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. He was seen by all these people. In other words, what he said, it's a fact of history. It's a fact. Friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a fact of history, not something that happened in some back alley. The second big idea of today's thoughts is number two, Jesus' act of resurrecting changed history forever. It's a fact of history, but the act of him rising from the dead changed history forever. I feel like I'm on bedtime stories. Forever. I remember 10 years ago, I was in Kenya preaching a national youth conference for the Nation of Kenya in Nairobi, and we're driving through the slums to get to some of the venues we're going to, and it's poor, and you see things in third world countries that you don't always see in America, and the slums and the poor of the poor. And yet they've got these big signs out there with iPhones that say this changes everything. I'm thinking like, if I gave that iPhone to a poor family over here that just lost to someone because they didn't have no medical conditions, and the leg was broken, and the bone of the kneecap was over here, and they're trying to walk on crutches, an iPhone doesn't change that one bit. I'm over in Kenya going, no. No, the act of Jesus rising from the dead, that changes everything. That's why Matthew says it's a new day dawning. It was a new day. A new era was launching. A new chapter was emerging. A new season was budding. A new age was rising. A new dispensation was commencing. A brand new destiny was being established. That 24-hour period was inaugurating a new eternal opportunity. It's like Michael Bublé said, a new day or new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. Sing along if you know it. And I'm feeling you guys left me hanging. Gonna make me sing that song. My daughter said, Dad, don't try singing the whole thing. Just sing the back part. They'll join you. I think my daughter handed out cards to all of you. Don't sing when he asks you to do it. Shame on y'all. You should be sorry, Sam. No. But it's a new dawn. It's a new day. As Christ followers, if you follow Jesus, friends, we've tethered our entire worldview on this act of Jesus. The one thing that separates our Christian worldview from every other world religion is you can go to the tomb of every religious leader, but you can't go to Jesus' tomb because he's not there. The act of that changed everything. That's why Paul said, for if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. It's futile. All of our faith is, in other words, you know, useless means vain, futile, pointless, of no value. My papa always said it this way. It's not worth a bucket of warm spit on a hot day. Our preaching's useless. It's not worth a hill of beans. It's not worth a plug nickel, whatever a plug nickel is. No value. And Christ, if Christ has not been raised, then our faith is useless and you're still guilty. The Bible says guilt. Say guilty. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, then guess what? It's still the old day. And the old day was as Jewish Christian believers, they would take a lamb and raise it every year to have a sacrifice, and the blood of the lamb would cover their sins for a year, only do the same thing the next year and the next. But when Jesus said a new day had dawned, what he was saying was a brand new day. You're no longer guilty of your sins if someone just died on the cross for your sins. And the Bible says if the resurrection from the death does not happen, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But in fact, Paul says, in verse 20, but chapter 15, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first of a great harvest of all who've died. So you see, just as death came into the world through one man, that's Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and when sin into the world through one man, death came with it, the Bible says, but it says this, the resurrection for the dead has begun through another man. There's a new day, there's a new dawn, something shifted, it changed everything. The act of Jesus rising from the dead has changed history. It's not the way it used to be. Back when I was a kid, no. The resurrection changed history forever. That's why Paul said in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus. The good news is you don't have to die in your sin anymore because someone had just died on the cross. That's good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus because it's the power of God for saving everyone who believes. First the Jew and then the Gentile. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only son that whosoever what believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The act of Jesus resurrecting changed all of history. The resurrection is a fact of history. Jesus rising from the dead changed all of history. And the third thought I want to leave with you with today. If we personally act on the facts of Jesus, it will change our history and our forever. My father-in-law, Joe, he had a nickname. His name was Bear. He was about 6'2", 6'3", 240, 250 probably in his hind. And it wasn't because he had table muscle. He had a real muscle. He was a big guy. And Joe Refilio, they called him Bear because he was mean. He was violent. He was in prison. He was drug user. Drugs, alcohol consumed him. There was a time he had drugs and alcohol, and then there's a time drugs and alcohol had him. Anyone know those types of situations? And Joe was rough. Joe had gotten out of prison one day, and someone says, hey, Joe, you should come to church with me. He's a part of a Mexican gang in Eastern Washington. Church, I'm not going to go to church. And the guy says, are you chicken? You don't tell Bear he's chicken. No, I don't need church. You're chicken. And so Joe comes to church because he didn't want to be chicken. He's sitting in church. And he tells a story how he's there in church. And the whole time he's in church, he felt like there's a civil war going on the inside of him. Because he knows that he needs to, he knows the life change. He had friends that were shot, killed, and gang things that went wrong. And he should have been the one that got dead. And multiple times they said, Joe, you shouldn't be alive. But Joe came to church one day, 50 some years ago. And Joe gave his life to Jesus. And you know something, 51 years later, he's married to the woman of his dreams. I'm married to the best woman they ever created named Heidi. She's my Aztec warrior princess. She's my zig and my zag. They've been married 51 years. My mom and dad, see, I don't know if you know this, but it's the Bible says we all have an expiration. It's appointed once for men to die. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, that's good news. You won't be around. No, don't say that. None of us are promised tomorrow, the Bible says. And that there's a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. The Bible says that. There's a day that life will cease to exist and we'll breathe our last. We all have an expiration date. We're not promised tomorrow. We know that. And we all know people that's expiration dates have been called up before we thought they should be. We all know that there's some people who are like, you know, it's like, well, you know, I can't say I'm happy, but I can't say I'm sad because they were ready to go, right? You ever met those things? But I could promise you, there's probably 99.9% of us in this room today that aren't ready to go today. I mean, we might be ready to go to heaven, but we're not ready to die. We still feel like there's stuff for us to do. But the reality is we're all going to some point, life's going to expire. In my family, my mom and dad, they've been married 53 years. So my five children have never seen a divorce in their between mom and dad, between my grandparents on both sides. They've never seen that. Praise God. And I hope that doesn't happen. It could happen. Divorce happens. Divorce is another word for tears. It's like Siamese twins. The separation happens, but there's still scars. It hurts. But my mom and dad, my story is this. I grew up on a dairy farm in Tillamook, Oregon. And we just learned how to work hard. Milk cows, so you guys can have your Tillamook cheese. And Tillamook ice cream. All those in favor of Tillamook say aye. Okay. But the guy that would, my dad milked about 250 head of cattle, and the guy that would come and service his genetic needs, Landmark Genetics and Carnation Farms, would come and sell artificial insemination materials for cattle. He would come, his name was Dave Owens, and Dave started talking to my parents and built a relationship with my mom and dad, and knew that if he came at the end of the last farm would be Larry's, he could talk to Larry for a while, and then my dad would say, hey, come on over for dinner, and he knew that my mom knew how to cook. I used to call my mom Martha Stewart, but then when Martha Stewart had her integrity issues, I had to go back to Betty Crocker. But my mom could cook, and so my dad would call, hey, Pam, set an extra table. Dave's coming over. And Dave kept for once a month for a couple years, he'd come and have dinner with us until I didn't know what they'd talk about because I'd go to bed, and I'd get up the next day and go to school. But I remember one day, it was a Tuesday, we're driving out to one of our farms in my mom and dad's 1971 Chevy Impala. I wish they'd have saved it. They had no idea it would be worth money today as a muscle car. But we're in the Chevy One Impala with black vinyl seats. This was BS before seatbelts. And we're driving out, and my older brother Carl says, Mom, I got picked up by the little yellow bus, and we knew there was but he got picked up by the little yellow bus at the Baptist church down the street, and they had a good news club, and they talked about how that our hearts are black because of sin, but Jesus died on the cross with red blood, and if we ask Jesus to forgive us, his blood will wash us as white as snow. And he says, Mommy, I asked Jesus Christ to be in my heart today, and he saved me from my sin. And my mom goes, your dad and I just prayed that prayer last night with Dave Owens. I'm in the backseat of my Chevy Impala. We're jumping up and down. Our curly hair's getting caught in the top of the headliner like Velcro. And my mom says, well, your dad and I prayed that. So my twin brother and I, my name is Mark. I called him Lucifer. My mom called him Pat, but there's a reason I called him Lucifer. And so she says, well, and so my mom led us into a faith commitment regarding Jesus, because the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. See, here's what we believe at True North. We believe it's appointed once for men to die, and that they face judgment. The Bible says, in fact, in Romans, it says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And we know that God showed his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son Jesus to the cross. And Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane said, no, take this cup from my lip. Not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus went to the cross because we were on his mind. He had him, if he only had himself on his mind, he never would have went to the cross. He dies on the cross. So Romans 10 could happen if we open and declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised from the dead, that we'd be saved, not from taxes in a couple days on the 18th. Guess what? That day's a coming. But there's a bigger day than tax accountability. There's a day we're accountable for our choices and decisions. Here's what I know. You're all going to leave this place today. Why? Because we're going to make sure you leave. Because we all want to go home and have Easter dinner at some point this afternoon too. So you can hide in some closet, but we'll find you and we'll cast you. No, you're all going to leave this in a few moments. You're going to walk out of this place and drive, and maybe you have an Easter dinner or whatever. But here's what I know. If you leave this place today and forget who I am, you haven't lost a whole lot, if anything. If you leave here today and you forget who Jesus Christ is, you have lost everything. Because when on that new day was dawning, a whole new day dawned. But here's the reality. If the fact of the resurrection, the act of Jesus rising from the dead can change history, friends, it changed my father-in-law's life. My father-in-law went from a drug addict and a violent man to the sweetest man. Did outreaches in Portland. When I met him, he had 100 gang members at a basketball outreach he was hosting as he continued to tell them, there's something other than drugs and alcohol and gangs. There's someone named Jesus. He set me free. He could set you free. There's a new day. If you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Jesus, if you leave this place and forget me, not lost nothing. If you leave here and forget who Jesus is, you've lost everything. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But there's a new day for those who accept his forgiveness of sin, and there's eternal life with him. That's why, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. You don't have to perish, because there could be a new day. For some of you, if you've never made a faith commitment to Jesus, that changes. The Bible says he takes your sin and separates as far as the east is from the west. He forgives you of your sin. You confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, God raised from the dead, you'll be saved. If you're here, you've never made that commitment. Maybe you're here because someone said, chicken. Maybe you're here because someone invited you. Maybe you're here because you promised your grandmother before she passed, I'll go to church on Easter, Grandma. I don't know your story. I don't know why you're listening online. All I know is this. Everybody comes to a place where they have to make a faith commitment to Jesus, either before they die or after. And after they die, it's too late. We always say to know that it's easy. A, B, C, A, admit you sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A, admit. B, believe. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And C, confess our sins and confess him as the Lord of our life, and we'll be saved. If you've never prayed that faith commitment prayer, I'd like to pray with you. Bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room and online. You're there. Maybe you're tired of the way life is going. Maybe you're not. Maybe you want a new day. You want a new trajectory for your family, your future family. You're tired of living the way you've lived. You say, God, I need a new day. I want the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want a God to heal me, deliver me, touch me, set me free. I need that God. Just pray this prayer as I pray out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned. And I believe you died on the cross to forgive me of those sins. Please forgive me. Lord, I want a new day in my life, a day where I confess you as the Lord of my life and crown you as my King and life leader. Help me serve you the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.